Welcome along to the Executive Central podcast. Today, looking at managing a performance culture and, importantly, focusing on what matters. Yes, welcome along. I'm Phil Dobby, and once again, Rob Barmer is with me, Managing Director at Executive Central. Rob, we'll look at how, as part of a performance culture, we need to get it right when it comes to focusing on what matters. But first, a word on performance culture. What exactly do you mean by it, and why does a company need it?
Well, look, Phil, I think the way to perhaps answer that would be to ask a question of anyone listening to this podcast, saying, are any of the following things important to you? One, profitability and productivity. Two, innovation. Three, the experience or engagement of your employees. Four, your focus on your customers. Five, the quality of your culture and the constructive nature of that culture. And five, six, the overall fairness that people feel in the workplace.
Wow.
Now, those are six things, right?
Yeah.
Now, the reason I ask those questions is that there have been several quite groundbreaking studies that have shown that if you want to have any of those, and I mean, obviously the answer to it, most of those for most businesses is yes.
Of course. Yeah.
You know, they're things that we go after all of the time. Then the creation of a performance culture is how you get those.
Mm.
Right? And then, of course, the question is, well, how do you get those? And how do you develop a performance culture? And it's really interesting that the studies very, very strongly show that leadership and the quality of leadership throughout the entire organization has one of the biggest impacts on such a performance culture.
Well, I know one of the things that we want to talk about today, which really does relate to that leadership, and I think this is the key of a strong leader, isn't it? Focusing on what matters. But I mean, that is a skill in itself. How can you focus on what matters? Because for a lot of people, you know, it's the next bright, shiny thing, isn't it? You know, what matters is what's just come along or what's seen as being urgent right now. And you don't have a, you know, so you focus on that because you're fighting fires.
That's exactly right. The if we think about the way, you know, modern organizations roll, they're really built, if you like, around busyness.
Mm.
You know, we have these, we've talked about the fact that we're umbilically linked to these devices constantly. We have this stream of contact, communication, and information just flowing in all the time. Now, the problem with that is that that is a major, distraction a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And it is very easy to fall into that trap, as you just said, of whatever is the first thing, the first most urgent thing that comes across my desk, that's what'll get my attention. So from a leadership perspective, while it's a really simple thing to say, that's one of the great obstacles that we face in modern organizations.
Yeah,
because
not going to drive change with that, are you? I mean, all you're going to do is shuffle bits of paper around and preserve the status quo almost.
Well, that's right. I mean, to steal a Stephen Coveyism, you're going to probably focus on doing things right rather than doing the right things. Right?
I like that.
And in fact, so it's a terrific quote and from the great Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and it's really just a universal truth. But the really more complex question when we think about leadership at all levels throughout performance cultures is that depending on where a leader sits, the things that matter for that person's job are slightly different.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, the answer to your question about what should we be focusing on can really depend on where a person sits in that leadership pipeline, as they call it, throughout an organization.
Well, so give us some examples then about, you know, different levels within organization and what you should be focusing on at those levels.
Yeah. Well, look, there is a terrific article called A Leadership Pipeline, and it identifies six different sort of transition points that people need to go through. I won't go through all six, Phil, but if I pick out some highlights, you know, the first transition point, for example, at the front line is when someone makes that transition from being an individual contributor to all of a sudden becoming a manager of individual contributors.
Mm.
Now, or a team leader, for example. At that point, there is a real transition that someone needs to make in their own thinking about what value they are, because most of the time they've come from probably being very good at as an individual contributor, maybe the best at what they do in their team. But all of a sudden, they have this word manager in their title, and that means that now they need to divide their time between what they're actually doing themselves and, obviously, managing others. And then in our experience, a lot of times, that's seen as a bit of a hassle. You know, all of a sudden, I've got to worry about what other people are doing on top of what I've been doing. And if someone hasn't made that transition in their own thinking and their own realization of what that job's really about, they continue to do really well individually, but the people they're managing lack, you know, are really lacking for the guidance and management that should be coming from them from their direct manager. So getting them to make that transition and to prioritize and see as important the time they spend with those other people is a really critical transition at that point.
Right. And I guess an element of that is as well is seeing the wood for the trees, isn't it? You know, it's sort of like you might have been in a job where you are very much focused on the here and now, and you're moving to a position where you've got to step back and you've got to take more of a forward view.
Yes, absolutely. At being able to actually sit up above and see the forest for the trees, as you say, of looking at all of those tasks that they've got on their to-do list and actually prioritizing those for, you know, the things that are going to have the most impact on what they're expected to deliver is critically important. Now, that's, by the way, a skill across all of the leadership levels. You know, I guess it's just what is important probably changes as you go up those levels.
Right. So the key question then is how do you prioritize at each of those levels? How can you effectively prioritize? How do you make sure you are doing the right thing?
Well, look, it's an interesting thing. This is probably not rocket science, but I think in our experience over the last 16 odd years, we've found the very simple Stephen Covey urgent versus important model. Again, I'm using another Coveyism there, but that's the ability to look at someone and something, a task, and rate it in terms of its degree of urgency and its degree of importance. Mm. Now, that sounds like a really simple thing to do, but let me ask you this, Phil. If you've got a boss or a customer on the other end of a phone screaming at you, saying they need you to do something or they want something done really properly, clearly that's an urgent issue, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And it's a customer as well, so I'd say it's probably fairly important.
Well, is it? That's the thing. Yes, it's important to that customer, but is it as important as perhaps some of the other tasks that you might have on your to-do list that are really going to have a huge impact on what your business is expected to deliver? Now, don't get me wrong, customer service is clearly an important thing, and I'm not saying you ignore that, but it's the degree to which we let urgent things like that supersede or come ahead of other important things that are truly important to the business that really determines, our effectiveness. So what tends to happen is when we fill our time, as most people do, I've got to say probably 95% of people would agree they would probably do urgent things that aren't necessarily overall important. They'd probably do those before they do highly important things that aren't urgent.
And I guess it depends on, you know, your point about it, you know, being at the right, doing the right job for the right level. So in that example, correct, satisfying that customer, you know, perhaps I should be taking the position as a manager to say, well, I've got someone on my team who, for them, this should be a priority and it should be important to them. But for me, the priority is making sure it gets done. But it's more important I'm spending my time working on something which has got a slightly longer term perspective.
Yeah, spot on. And so perhaps if I go up the leadership pipeline a couple of levels, you know, this whole dilemma between, what I'm actually doing myself versus what I've got others doing becomes even more magnified because, you know, the really important transition that people need to make, you know, as they get up and they start managing functions or managing other managers is that the bulk of what you're responsible for in terms of, you know, the doing is actually not being done by you. You know, it's being delegated effectively. And so what the manager needs to start filling their time with is quite a lot of new stuff. So I would put a lot of this stuff, if you like, into the category of highly important things that really shouldn't be urgent.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a really simple example, strategy, right? I have yet to see a strategy develop brilliantly, urgently. Right.
Yeah.
You've got real problems
if you are trying to develop a strategy urgently.
Yeah, and yet, I tell you what, the number of organizations that try and do strategy urgently is, you know, endless. It is amazing. We sort of, we've got to put our strategy together. Okay, let's do our two-day offsite up in the mountains somewhere and expect that we're going to generate a fantastic strategy. So, you know, the things like the thought, the research, the analysis that goes into strategy, the development of, you know, alternative strategies like plan Bs and things like that are all things that go out the window when we're trying to put a strategy together urgently. Now, I could put just about any topic that has ever been written about in a leadership book into that category, right? Into being it's an important thing that was probably meant to be done, not urgently. So performance reviews, you know, how many times do they get jammed in at the end of the year to satisfy HR who are chasing up, you know, the fact that we've done them? The quality goes out the window. We just do it as a check the box exercise. You know, networking, customer relationships, the list is endless. All of those things, if you do them urgently, because you've been putting them off to do more urgent things, the quality factor drops off. And if the quality of those really important things is not done, is not there, then you've really got problems, Phil. That's where organizations, you know, are susceptible to, you know, disruption and change. You know, the number of change initiatives, for example, that fail to meet their objectives because they were done in a rush, in an urgent fashion.
Yeah,
you know, is again great examples of all this. So that's the sort of thing why having these people, you know, focusing on what matters at the right levels is so critical.
Yeah. So, and you know, a lot of this will seem like common sense to people, and I guess it. I mean, that's because it is common sense, of course. But it's perhaps just a timely reminder. Every day, perhaps you need to be asking that question: am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right thing for my job? Or am I just doing things right? And it's perhaps something we should ask every day.
Yeah, totally correct. And I promise you, it is a simple, simple question. It isn't a simple thing to, well, it's maybe simple to answer, but it's not so simple to execute.
Yeah.
And so long as we do. Yeah. So because we do have this constant stream of interruption and distraction that's around us. So the discipline and the ability to, you know, as you said, keep your head above the forest, above the trees, and see the forest, you know, is so critical. The more senior you get, so, you know, when we get right up to enterprise leader, CEO level, the same issue exists, absolutely the same issue. The problem is the scope that is coming across a CEO's desk is so much broader that if they fail to focus on the important things, then we're in real trouble.
Real trouble.
Yeah. You know, they're needing to be future focused, and they're needing to, you know, really visualize what's going and where we're heading and the direction. If they're not doing that, well, who is? We're just sort of bouncing around, chasing our tails.
Very good, Rob. Well, I guess it is a question you need to ask yourself every day, and more importantly, you've got to answer it honestly. And I guess that's the crux of it all as well. Indeed. Great talk. We'll catch you again for more insights very soon.
Will do, Phil. Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Always a pleasure. Now, look, next time, leadership at all levels. The importance of developing leadership across the organization is not just the top brass. What about the middle managers and throughout the organization? Your performance culture needs to work throughout the entire company, and we'll explain how to do that next on the Executive Central podcast with Rob Barmer. I'm Phil Dobby. Thanks for listening. I'll see you then.